no idea what he looks like. I get here and he's gone. So one day we'll meet, huh? So anyway, I usually, when I've never been to a church, I kind of have to address a few things. When I call to order pizza, they'll say, "Now, does your mommy know you're doing this?" I'll go, "No, but my husband does." So, I know I sound like I'm 8 years old. I know that. But, you know, it's not how you sound that intimidates the devil. It's what's coming out of the mouth. In fact, there's a scripture. I think it's Ezekiel or something. It says that God speaks in a still, small voice. It's like, he sounds just like me. People get me and the voice of God mixed up all the time. No, I'm kidding. But I want to talk to you today about your dreams and about your goals. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? What are you going to do with the life you have left? I asked the first service, are your memories bigger than your dreams? Do you think more about your past than you do your future? Because every single thing God has for you is ahead of you. It's not behind you. You know, I believe that everything is created for a reason. Everything. In fact, when people create things or, you know, invent things, they always have a vision for it first, and then it has a purpose for being created, right? I have an illustration here. For example, this flat iron that somebody invented, this one's kind of jacked up because it's got lots of hairspray on it and everything. But somebody had a vision to create a device that would straighten our hair, right? They got a vision for it first, then they created it. And when I'm in the mood for straight hair, it fulfills its purpose in my life. This morning I wasn't in the mood for straight hair, so it didn't fulfill its purpose, right? But somebody had a vision, and, you know, it fulfills a purpose. Well, thank God. Somebody had a vision. Somebody had a vision to create something that would give girls like me some color on the eyelashes. I seriously don't think I would have met my husband if this hadn't been invented. It's that bad. In fact, one night my little nephew Dylan was spending the night with us, and he had never seen me without makeup. And so I'm in the bathroom taking makeup off, and all of a sudden I flip my hair like that, and Dylan walked around the corner, and he went, I said, "Dylan, it's okay. It's Aunt Terry. See the hair?" And he goes, "I don't like it." I said, "I don't either, but, you know, thank God. Somebody had a vision, you know." But somebody had a vision to create this, and it fulfills its purpose in my life. Some of you too, right? Well, thank the Lord, somebody had a vision. Right? Somebody had a vision. It fulfills its purpose, right? In our lives. Well, just as things are created for a purpose, Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that God created you for a purpose. For a purpose, that he created you before you were even born, he had a thought about you. He had a vision to create you in your mother's womb, no matter how you were conceived, whether it was planned, unplanned, no matter what. God had a plan all along. And he has a vision for your life. There's a purpose that he's fully counting on you to fulfill during your life. So think about, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? You know, typically they say that for New Year's goals, that 97% of New Year's resolutions are never fulfilled. 97%. 30% are broken within the first week. Isn't that amazing? One phrase said, New Year's goals, it's kind of like in one year and out the other. That people aren't real serious about it. But I don't really want to talk about your New Year's goals. I just want to talk about your life goals. What are you going to do from here on? How many of you don't want to be where you're at today, next year at this time? And I totally agree with that for myself. I don't want to be dealing with the same stuff I'm dealing with right now, next year at this time. You know, God has given us a gift called our imagination. And every dream, every goal, every vision, it begins in here, in your imagination, before it ever shows up out here. You know, when you're little, it's easy to use your imagination. I mean, when I was little, my sister and I, we thought we were Charlie's Angels. Those of you who know who that is, who they are. I mean, I wanted to be Farrah Fawcett so bad, and I had the Farrah haircut, and I can remember going, stop, or I'll shoot. Because I really thought I could be Farrah, you know? But you know, when you're little, you can stretch your imagination, and you can just imagine anything. But then as you get older, you kind of just stop dreaming. You stop imagining, stop believing that anything's possible. But God has given us this gift called the imagination, and it's for a purpose. What he wants you to do is begin to see and hear what he wants to do with your life. You have to imagine your future. You know, like in the Bible, when God was showing Abraham that he'd be the father of many nations, what did he do? He said, Abraham, come outside. Look at the stars. He said, can you count them? And Abraham said, no. He said, well, that's how many descendants you're going to have. But he wanted Abraham to get a vision on the inside of him that that's your potential. Can you see it? Can you get that image on the inside of you? Because you got to see it first. You know, Napoleon Hill says, if you do not see great riches in your imagination, you'll never see them in your bank balance. You have to see it in here before it shows up out here. I was telling the first service about Pastor Happy Caldwell from Little Rock, Arkansas. He and my dad are real close friends, and when they were in Hawaii on vacation one time, Mr. Caldwell was down on the beach, and he looked up and he saw this massive mansion on top of a hill. And he just made this statement. He said, I can't imagine living in a house that big. And he clearly heard the Lord say, don't worry about it, son, you never will. And he thought, well, why not? And he said, the Lord said, if you can't imagine it, you'll never have it. That everything begins in here. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. I looked up that word perish, and it means die. I looked up the word die, it means die. I was shocked. If you don't have a vision for your life, then we're just dying. We're just wasting away on the inside. You know, recently I was in, well, it's been a few months now, but when I was in London preaching for a church there, I was just amazed at what God has done in this pastor's life. The man that I was preaching for, he has 7,000 people. He came from Nigeria. He lived in his car, dirt poor, grew up in poverty. He had a speech problem, so his parents didn't want to invest in him going to school. They invested in the other kids. So he was kind of the reject son. Grew up, I mean, living in a car, no money, no food, begging people for food. But he got a hold of the Word of God. And he said he began hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. And as he began to hear the Word of God, his imagination began to stretch. He said he began to see things on the inside of him that he'd never seen before. He said while living in his car, he remembers imagining moving to England. That one day I'm going to get out of here and I'm going to move to England. Then he said he just imagined being married and having kids. Then he imagined preaching to thousands of people. He could see it. He said he imagined even the color green for some reason. He just kept seeing the color green. Well, now you go to his church, 7,000 people in a matter of 5 years, 200 to 300 first-time visitors every Sunday. He just bought 14 acres of land in London and paid cash for it. He just bought his own TV network, not airtime. He bought the whole network. The carpet's green. His shoes are green. The usher's ties are green. I was cracking up, but I go, you are amazing. And he goes, no, I simply believe. That's what he said. He just simply believes that what he saw in here could happen out here. If he would hang on to that vision, hang on to that dream and not give up and not listen to everybody making fun of him, keep focused on that dream that he saw in here, then it could happen. And you know, sometimes you got to get around faith like that, that just, I believe, why wouldn't I? And you know, sometimes you don't get to hang out with people like that. I mean, I only go to his church maybe once, twice a year. But you can hang around people like that by listening to their CDs. Reading their books, getting that type of faith on the inside of you that if you can dream it, God can do it. Well, the reason I'm so passionate about telling people to get a vision for your life, find out what God wants you to do and do it is because years ago, I was coming out of one of the hardest times I've ever been through in my life. My marriage was falling apart. We were separated. I lost all vision for my life. Felt like I was going this way, and then all of a sudden everything just stopped. And I was filled with a lot of shame and a lot of guilt from my past, a lot of mistakes I'd made, and I just couldn't let go of it. I could not forgive myself. I couldn't get over all these mistakes. And basically, my memories were bigger than my dreams. That was at the forefront of my mind. And it was right at that time. I mean, I had gotten serious about hearing the word because I knew I've got to have change in my life. So I started this routine of just listening to the word every morning while I was getting ready. I mean, I had to make myself. I had to put a note on the mirror that said, push play. Put the CD player in there the night before. Get some CDs. That's how prepared I had to be because it wasn't a habit. And so I would push play, hear the word, hear the word. I was beginning to change, you know, on the inside. Well, then, after several months of that, and I'm changing, I'm getting stronger, my dad, Jerry Seville, the Lord told him to turn the operations of his ministry over to me. Well, I'm still coming out of this hard time, so I'm wanting to be respectful to Dad, but I want to go, Dad, I think you missed it. I don't think this is right, you know. So I'm out walking one morning, and I'm just crying. In fact, it was the very morning that my dad was going to announce to our staff, Terry's the new senior vice president of Jerry Seville Ministries. So I'm out walking that morning, and I'm just crying. It's dark outside. It's like 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm just praying and saying, Lord, what do I do? You know I don't deserve this. You know I'm not qualified for this. You know the mistakes I've made. Do I go tell Dad this morning that I can't take this position? And while I was out there walking, all of a sudden I had this vision. And I saw myself just standing at the foot of the cross. Is this okay? Can y'all hear that? I saw myself standing at the foot of the cross. And right as I looked up, all I could see were Jesus' feet. I looked up at his feet, and it was like the blood from his feet dropped and landed on the top of my head. And I clearly heard the Lord say, I'm washing the memories away. And then I just stood there, and I watched it go down my heart, and he said, I'm the healer of the brokenhearted. And as I'm just standing there, just kind of numb, you know, it went down to my feet. And right as that blood hit my feet, I heard the Lord say, the residue of sin is gone from you. And then all of a sudden, it was like this big hand just kind of reached down from heaven. And it was like the Lord handed me a clipboard. And it was a cute one. And, and he said, this is an assignment on your life. And he started to reveal to me that he had called me to an assignment. That there's something I'm supposed to do during my time here on earth. And since that day, my favorite scripture has become John 17:4 that says, I glorified you on earth by completing down to the last detail what you assigned me to do. I truly believe every single one of you have a clipboard. There's something that God is fully counting on you doing during your time here on earth, and then it's over. And you know, like John Bevere, when he was at our church, he made this statement. He said, when judgment day comes, and it's going to come, when every one of us are going to stand before God, and we're going to give an account for our lives. And he said, when that day comes, you're not going to be held accountable for what you did on earth. And I was like, well, I thought you were. And he said, no, you're going to be held accountable for what you were called to do on earth. What did Jesus call you to do during your time here on earth? You know, when you think about it, if we don't make it in the rapture, every one of us are going to die, and there's going to be a tombstone with your full name written at the top. On the left side will be the date you were born. On the right side will be the date you die. But it's that little dash in the middle that determines everything. I mean, that little dash determines where you spend eternity. It determines what did you do. Like, your whole life is summed up in that little dash. It's pretty shocking, isn't it? But then, more than anything, I want us to stand before God and say, Lord, I did exactly what you called me to do. And the thing is, it's not too late. It is never too late to do what God's called you to do. I mean, I've talked to people who, you know, In fact, one lady said to me, I'm 66 years old and I still don't know God's plan for my life. I said, don't worry about it. I said, there was a man who at 66 years old, he didn't want to live off of his Social Security check. So he thought, you know, I have a recipe that people love. I'm going to try to sell this recipe. So he went door to door, knocking on doors, trying to sell this recipe. He knocked on 1,009 doors. Nobody believed in him. On the 1,010th door, somebody believed in his recipe. At 66 years old, it was Colonel Sanders. Thank the Lord for that man. KFC. It is never too late to do what God's called you to do. But I'm such a believer that failing to plan is planning to fail. You have to have a plan for your life. So like I said earlier, every dream, every goal, every vision begins in here before it ever shows up out here. You know, Walt Disney? When Disney World had its grand opening, did y'all know that Walt Disney had already passed away? He wasn't even there when Disney World opened. And at the ceremony, the master of ceremonies went up and they had invited Miss Disney to attend the event. And while they're having this big event, he just said to Miss Disney, he said, I just wish that Walt could have seen all this. And she stood up and she said, he did. And she sat back down. Where did he see it? In his imagination. He saw every bit of that in here before it ever showed up out here. You know, they call Walt Disney an impossibility thinker. They said that when he would sit down with his board of directors, he would throw out ideas. And if everybody said, yeah, Walt, that's a good idea, let's do that. He'd say, then that's not what we're going to do. Then he'd throw out an idea and people would say, Walt, that's impossible. Nobody's ever done that. He'd say, then that's what we're going to do. I love that. An impossibility thinker. So what is it that God's telling you to do with the rest of your life? You know, I want you to realize that God wants to speak to you even more than you want to listen. He wants you to know his plan for your life, or it wouldn't be called God's plan. I want my daughter to know she needs to clean her room, so I'm going to tell her, right? God wants you to know his plan. He doesn't want you spending your life guessing, wondering, questioning, spinning your wheels, never knowing. He wants to tell you, but the problem is, a lot of times we just don't listen. We don't take the time to just go in another room, even if it's 5 or 10 minutes, and just get quiet and listen. And you know, it wasn't until I began doing that, making myself just get quiet, get away from the family, turn the music off, don't even take my phone in there, just get quiet, even for 5 minutes, and just close your eyes and just listen. Then you're going to hear from God. You will hear from him. You know, you hear people say, don't just sit there, do something. I'm saying, don't just do something, sit there. Don't just do something with your life. Let's sit there and just listen. Can you imagine if you really begin to hear direction and guidance and you get to the end of this year and you look back and go, I can't even hardly believe what God's done in my life in 9 months. Look what God did in my life. All because I placed a higher priority on just thinking and listening for God. I was telling the first service that there was a story I heard about this guy who... he was having dinner with a bunch of friends, and as they're sitting at dinner, one of them started telling a story about something he overheard earlier that day at the bookstore. He says he's at the bookstore, and this lady walks in, and she said, excuse me, sir, do you have any books on Microsoft DOS? She goes, I don't know, something like DOS for Dummies. Well, everybody at the table just started laughing that was a funny thing the lady said, and then they went on with eating. Well, the one guy sitting at the table who heard that story, his name was John Kilcullen. When he heard the story, he didn't just let it pass through one ear and out the other. He thought about it, and he spent time thinking about it. He played around with the idea. He meditated on the idea. And then all of a sudden, he came out with this called DOS for Dummies. And y'all know, there's dummy books for everything. Everything you can think of. There might even be preaching for dummies. I'm not sure. Maybe I should look into that. So anyway, he came out with this. And I was reading on the back, 370 different dummy titles are out there now in over 31 languages, and over 60 million copies have been sold around the world. That's not just $60 million. We're talking about 60 million copies, all because somebody at dinner overheard something and put some time into thinking about it. Just imagine the God-inspired ideas you could receive if you would just spend some time thinking. That's one of my confessions that I say over myself. I have my dreams book here, and in the front of it, I have a list of confessions that I speak. And one of them is, my spirit attracts God-inspired ideas that bring millions of souls and millions of dollars into the kingdom of God. My spirit attracts God-inspired ideas. So imagine if you were listening for God, what kind of ideas that He would give you. He wants you to know. So, you know, I know your pastor preaches on this because I've heard his CDs, a bunch of them, and I've copied them and acted like they come from me. And, but, you know, I know that he teaches you on the power of writing a vision. You know, throughout the Word, we see success clues. You know, have you ever played that game Clue? I'm a visual learner. I have to see what people are saying. I love this game called Clue. And nobody ever wants to play it with me, but whenever I can get my husband and my daughter to play, I'm always listening for clues. Like whenever, you know, Rodney will say, was it Miss Scarlet with the candlestick in the library? Then I'll put his initials next to those clues that he's asking for, because he probably doesn't have what he's asking for. And then I typically win, right? Well, God, throughout His Word, He gave us clues on how to be successful. But if you're not listening for the clues, then you could say, I don't have a clue what God wants me to do in my life. And we say that a lot, don't we? I don't have a clue what God wants me to do. But think about like Joshua 1:8, where he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but meditate on it day and night, observe to do what's in it, you'll make your way prosperous, and you'll have good success. That's a success clue, isn't it? If you hear the word day and night, listen, do what it says, you'll have success. Well, the other success clue, the main one I want to tell you today, is Habakkuk 2:2. And it simply says, write the vision, make it plain on paper. Write the vision, make it plain on paper. Then it says, why, basically? So you can run when you read it. When you have a vision on the inside of you and a vision on paper, it's no different than getting in your car, programming your GPS, now you know where to go. Instead of just getting in a car and just driving, don't have a clue where we're going, now you know where you're going. But how many of us have spent our lives not knowing why we're here, what we're doing, but we're busy? Nobody can accuse us of not being busy, we just don't really know what we're doing. That's what happens when we write a vision and make it plain on paper. Now, what's amazing to me is that people in the secular world have grabbed hold of this biblical principle, write the vision, make it plain. But so many times they don't know it comes from the Bible, they just know it works. And I've got so many illustrations of it in the series that we brought on Can You Imagine? I tell so many different stories of people out in the business world, even actors like Bruce Lee, Bruce Jenner, different people who have taken a hold of a biblical principle, whether they knew it was from the Bible or not. They wrote a vision, made it plain on paper, and it happened in their life. Well, I was telling the first service about Jim Carrey, the actor. When Jim Carrey, the thing I read about him, it said in 1990, he was a struggling young Canadian comic trying to make his way in Hollywood. Didn't have any movie roles, nobody's asking him for anything. He said that every night, and I think that's a key phrase there, every night he would drive his old beat-up Toyota up Mulholland Drive in L.A., and he said he would look over the city, and he would point to that city and say, I am the best actor. The best movie roles are coming my way. Producers are calling me. He would speak to that city. That comes straight from the Bible, whether Jim knows it or not. He was calling things that be not as though they were, wasn't he? But then he said he took it a step further. He got a check out of his wallet, and he wrote a check to himself, and he wrote, pay to the order of Jim Carrey in the amount of $10 million. He said he wrote down here in the memo, for acting services rendered. Then he said he postdated it 5 years forward, and he wrote, Thanksgiving 1995. This was in 1990. He said he folded it up, put it in his wallet, and he carried it with him everywhere he went. Then he said every day when he would get his wallet out to get coffee, whatever it was, he'd see his vision. Every day that vision was in front of him. Then he'd drive his truck up Mulholland, get that check out, speak to that city, put it back in his wallet. This is shocking to me because this sounds like something Billy Graham did or something. We're talking about Jim Carrey. By the year that he postdated on this check, 1995, he had already filmed Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, The Mask, and Dumb and Dumber. His asking price in 95 was $20 million per picture. He said that in 1994, when his dad passed away, he took that check and laid it in the coffin with his dad as a tribute to the man who not only taught him to dream, but to write his dreams and keep them in front of him. Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision, make it plain on paper so you can run when you read it. It's really not that hard. But you know what Satan does? He tries to overwhelm us with the work we got to do to get this thing going. Overwhelm us with, it's ridiculous, I don't have time, I'll do that someday. What she said was pretty good, I'll do it someday. Someday is not a day of the week. And if we don't do it, you know, a success coach I listened to one day, he said if you get inspired to do something, if you don't do something about it within 24 hours, chances are you never will. Because Satan does not want you to fulfill your dreams, your purpose. He is going to fight you day and night to try to stop you from dreaming. He'll tell you you've made too many mistakes. You're ugly, you're poor, you're fat, you're stupid, whatever he tells you. But you have to determine, are you going to listen more to his lies or God's truth? The choice is totally up to you. God has given you everything you need to fulfill the purpose he's put on your life. T.D. Jakes said, I can't even talk to people who don't have a vision. He said, don't even waste my time. He said, stop preparing to do next year what you did last year. Don't repeat year after year. Then he said, if you're not going to go higher, die. That's T.D. Jakes, not me, okay? Then they asked Helen Keller. They said, you remember Helen Keller? She was blind and deaf. They said to her, what could be worse than having no sight? She said, to have sight, but have no vision. To have sight, but have no vision for your life. So God wants us to get a vision for your life. You know, imagine, what if somebody just handed you a puzzle of, let's say, like 5,000 pieces, and just said, here, put this together. And you don't have a clue what you're doing. You don't even know what to do. I guess I start with the edges, and I don't even know what this is. But every day when you get up, this is your plan. I got to put this puzzle together. I don't know what I'm doing. This is grossing me out. I'm tired. I'm frustrated. I'm stressed out. This is boring. But tomorrow I got to get up and try to figure this thing out again. And it just gets old over and over and over. You're spending day after day trying to put this thing together. But as soon as somebody hands you the picture, it's like it all starts to make sense. Now I know why I'm getting up in the morning. Now I know why I'm getting on a plane and flying to Jackson. I missed my daughter's first track meet yesterday. But you know what? That was okay with me because I know I have a purpose. I know I needed to be here to Jackson because I know this was a divine appointment. So you're not, it all starts to make sense when you know what you're doing. And that's what happens when you get your vision, make it plain on paper, you can run when you read it. I told the first service, I said, you know, have you ever bought a new car and then all of a sudden you see your type of car all over the road, but you never saw it before? Well, the reason that happens is because now your car is at the forefront of your mind. So you recognize it everywhere. Well, when you take the time to get your dreams and your goals on paper and you're thinking about them, you're looking at them, you're reading them, you're confessing them out loud, every day you're aware of your dreams, then what's going to happen is you're going to start to see opportunities all around you that you never saw before. But now these are at the forefront of your mind and you're going to start to recognize, oh my goodness, that's an opportunity. I never saw that before. It was there, but you never saw it. It works the same way. So you have to take the time to get your dreams and goals in writing. You know, I always tell people that at different churches, you know, I'm always telling them, get your dreams on paper. Go online, Google things that you're, you know, if it's a car you're believing for, get a picture of that car, get the price of that car, print it out, go get a three-ring binder, put it in here, write that amount, speak that out of your mouth. And so many times people say they'll do it, but they don't. And then I thought, well, Part of my vision is to provide people with resources to help you pursue your dreams. So just last September, we came out with this Dreams and Goals notebook, and I've got quotes in here, I've got scriptures in here, I've got places for you to put a picture of whatever you're believing God for. I've got checks in here that I'm believing to give to ministries that have changed my life. I've got stuff in here, savings account goals. I've got things in here for my daughter I'm believing God for. I can't even tell you how many of my dreams and goals have come to pass in such a short time as a result of getting serious about it. But for years, my life never changed. Everything was the same. Not until I got serious about it. And you know, it's kind of like I heard Creflo Dollar say, if Jesus himself showed up in your house tonight and said, how much money do you need to get out of debt? He said, if you can't tell him, if you can't answer him, then you're not serious about getting out of debt. But if you can stand before the Lord and go, Lord, I can tell you, I need $13,123.10. You're ready. You're ready. You know, the Lord said to me years ago, he said, when I know you're ready, get ready. When I know you're ready, get ready. When you do your homework, you study to show yourself approved. You're confessing the word of God out of your mouth. You're showing the Lord, I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready. Anytime you want to bring that $13,100 whatever, I'm ready. You know, I've got things in here, TV equipment I'm believing God for, an event I'm believing God for. In fact, I do this event back home called Icing, and it's for women and teenage girls. Anyway, my vision is thousands of women. So one of the guys that works at the ministry, he printed out a picture from Joyce Meyer's conference, and he put a little bitty Terry on the stage, and it says Icing. I'm like, good, I need that, because I've got to get that vision on the inside of me, you know. But that's how it works. You get a vision on the inside of you, and then put that thing in front of you. Speak it out of your mouth. And when you're ready, when you show God, I'm ready. I'm ready, Lord. I'm doing my homework. So whenever you bring an opportunity, I'm ready. I'm ready to seize it. You know, John Wooden said, when opportunity comes, it's too late to prepare. When opportunity comes, it's too late to prepare. The time to prepare is right now. So, you know, I was telling them, well, first of all, I told them in the first service that the first point I want you to really get ingrained, and I'll go through this super quick. Number one is you've got to get your dreams in writing. You've got to picture your dreams. You've got to see it. Take the time to write your vision and make it plain on paper. That's easy, and even if you tonight did one thing, went online and printed out a copy of something you're believing God for, or add up your debt tonight. In fact, that's my point number two, is start today. Start today. Jimmy Lyons said, tomorrow is the only day in the year that appeals to a lazy man. I'll do it tomorrow. Yeah, I'll do that tomorrow. When we keep putting it off, it just gets easier to put it off again. Pastor Joel could ask me to come back next year at this time, and you'd be dealing with the same stuff. Same debt, same problems, same weight issues, whatever it is. It's not until we start today. You know, I was telling them the story about at Hillsong. you've heard of Hillsong and their music that's gone all over the world. When Hillsong was getting ready to record their first music CD, they had been practicing for months. They had all the music ready. They had allotted the time in the studio to go in and record. And the week they were supposed to record, the music minister just quit. Not only did he quit, but he took all the music with him. So here's this group of musicians and singers, and they're ready to record, and they have nothing. However, there was one girl on the team, and she said, well, I have a song. Her name was Darlene Check, and the song was Shout to the Lord. She had already prepared that ahead of time with nobody looking, nobody asking her for music. Here she was, the church secretary, and she had written a song thinking nobody cares about it. But when opportunity came, she was ready. Remember the Lord said, when I know you're ready, get ready. Now her music's gone all over the world. What if that opportunity had come to her right then, and she had thought to herself, oh my gosh, I know the Lord's told me to write music, but I didn't think anybody would ever ask me for it, and I kept putting it off and thinking I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it the next day. What if she hadn't been ready? I just wonder if she had gone all over the world like she has now. But she was ready. So do something, even if it's 10 minutes tonight before you go to bed. Go in another room and just listen for the Lord. Or add up your debt and write it on, get a dreams notebook or get your own. Print it out and write it down. Do something to show the Lord, I'm not procrastinating anymore. This is the time. I'm not going to repeat year after year. Number three is schedule time in your daily agenda. Schedule time in your daily agenda. You have to set a time to go after your dreams and goals or it will never happen. I told the first service, it's so easy to illustrate in a church because so many times, at least for me, maybe y'all have run into people here at the church and you'll say, hey, let's get together for lunch sometime. Just call me. And then like a year will go by and you're like, oh my gosh, call me. We've never got together. Let's go out to eat sometime. Just call me. Then 6 months go by. I cannot believe we still haven't gotten together. You've got to call me. I know we'd have fun together. Just call me. It's never going to happen until one person says, Friday night, 8 o'clock, P.F. Chang's, right? It's never going to happen until someone schedules a time to make it happen. Well, it's the same with your dreams and goals. You have to say, tomorrow, Monday, 12 noon on my lunch break, I am running to the bank and I'm going to open the savings account that I keep putting off year after year. Monday, 12 o'clock. Friday night, when I get off work, I'm going to go online and look up guitar lessons. I've been saying I want to play the guitar forever. Friday, when I get off work. You have to schedule time to go after your dreams or they won't happen. Number four is you got to say what you see. You release your faith through words. Joyce Meyer actually says, every time you speak it out of your mouth, you believe it in a stronger way. Every time I speak over these dreams, I just believe it more and more. You have to get in, the Bible tells us in Romans that we serve a God who speaks of non-existent things as if they already exist. So when God wants something to happen, he just speaks it. Well, you have to do the same thing. And you will feel ridiculous. I feel like a nut sometimes when I go in my guest bedroom and I'm going to speak of non-existent things as if they already exist. I'll be right back. And I just walk in circles declaring my dreams. This morning in my hotel room, if the housekeeping had come in, they would have been a little scared. But I just confess these out loud because every time I speak them out, I believe them in a stronger way. T.D. Jakes said, it's not enough just to write it. You have to speak it. Some things will never change in your life until you begin speaking them out loud. And finally, the last point I want to make is number five, sow towards your dreams. Sow towards your dreams. My dad has ingrained it in me that you may not have what you need, but you are never without the seed that will produce it. You're never without the seed that will produce it. That you always have to sow for what you're believing God for. You can't just walk outside and, put a little picture of an apple tree in the grass and speak to it and command an apple tree to grow. You have to sow seed for it. So I want to challenge you, when an opportunity comes, sow for your future. Sow towards your dreams. Show the Lord that you trust him with your future, that you're sowing towards it. And just in closing, just to illustrate what I'm sharing with you, I had such a dream and such a desire to teach people how to make their dreams bigger than their memories. Let's learn how to give the past a burial and move on with the plan of God. And so I had this desire. I felt like the Lord put it on my heart to write a book on that. Well, at the time, nobody was asking me for a book. No publishers are calling. People could care less that I have a book I want to write, right? But I knew in my heart God told me to write a book. So I had to do what I just told you, schedule time in my daily agenda. So I told myself, okay, every Tuesday and every Saturday, I'm going to write my book. So I had to do it. Even when the family was playing and everybody's sleeping in, I'm in my little room writing my book that nobody cares about, nobody's asking me for, no publishers are calling. I finished the book. Then I wrote it down. I began declaring out of my mouth, thank you, Jesus, that I have a publisher. I received my publisher. I thank you, Lord, they're calling me now. I thank you, Father, I have the best publisher. This book is going around the world, and it's going to change lives. And I just began praying over it and speaking over it. Then I sowed significant seed towards my dream. I sowed the best seed I had into some, another minister's whose books changed my life. I sowed seed into their ministry. And I said, Lord, I'm sowing the best I have because I am trusting you that you are going to bring me the right publisher at the right time, and this book is going to go around the world. Well, then I started praying this way. I said, in Jesus' name, I have a publisher before my birthday. It was my big 40th birthday. That was a year and a half ago, so I was just confessing it. Jesus' name, before I turn 40, I have a publisher. I thank you, Lord, for my publisher. Well, my birthday is September 30th. On September 18th, just suddenly, I received a contract from a publisher that said, we would like to publish a book by Terry Savelle Foy, and we would like to actually speed it up for a spring release if she's ready. What if I had put it off all those times? I thought, nobody cares, nobody's calling. It's Saturday morning, I'm sitting in Burleson, Texas, writing a book nobody cares about. But I made myself do it. And all I had to do was give them the little flash drive and say, I'm ready. And because I was ready, they made it come out even quicker. Instead of the fall, it was ready in the spring. What is God telling you to prepare for now so that when opportunity comes, you're ready? What if I'd said to that publisher, oh my gosh, can you just give me like 6 months? Because I really do want to write a book. I know the Lord's told me to write a book. I just haven't done it yet. When opportunity comes, it's too late to prepare. What if they'd lost interest in me by then? What is it that God's telling you, now's the time to get ready? Let's not repeat this year what we did last year. Even as simple as go home, write a vision and make it plain on paper. And don't get overwhelmed with how much you need to think about. Just start with one thing. You know, it's like Martin Luther King said, don't look at the whole staircase. Just focus on the first step. Just focus on the first step. If the vision is to get out of debt, that's it. That's step number one. Do the homework, write down your debt, and you get focused on that. And you confess it daily out of your mouth. Thank you, Jesus. This $17,000 is paid in full. I thank you, Lord, I'm debt free. Just do one. I'm believing next year at this time, you are going to be amazed at what God's done in your life. He gave us the success clues. We just have to do it. And you know, we brought my book, Make Your Dreams Bigger Than Your Memories. Thank you, Lucy. And we brought this series on Can You Imagine? We offered this on the television broadcast just recently, this little package. And we saw the greatest results we've ever seen in the history of our TV broadcast from people wanting to learn how to dream, which just proved to us that so many people don't want to be where they're at today, next year at this time. So this series, I believe, is the most motivational series I've done. It's the only thing we brought. We didn't bring all the other stuff because I said, I just want to teach them about dreaming. So this series and then my book on Make Your Dreams Bigger Than Your Memories. I was telling the first service, this book has now become part of the curriculum for Mercy Ministries for all the teenage girls. Oh, melts my heart. That was part of my vision too. Teaching them, you know, how to let go of the past. Move beyond that. Let's do what God's called you to do. And then the Dreams Notebook. Places for you to put visions for even your fitness goals, your faith goals, your future, everything. And places for you to keep track of the seeds that you sow so that you can remind the Lord, I've sowed seed for that. It is written, right? And we brought this whole little packet, and it's normally $50 for this packet. But we brought it as a package for $35. So when you get this package, you're really getting the book for free. So hopefully the first service, they got a bunch of them, didn't they? But I think there's several left. So if y'all want this, I think we brought 200, but I don't know how many sold. So I hope it's a blessing to you because I want to just sow that book into your life. And, you know, that's one of the things I put on my vision. I want to be known for my giving. So when you buy that, I'm sowing that book into your life because I'm believing God's going to do the same thing he's done for me. For you. Give that past a burial. Stop looking back. Make your dreams bigger than your memories. Did y'all receive that? Okay, I want you to just stand up for a minute. As we're closing out this service, I just want to pray over you. I always believe that God sends us places by divine appointment. that it's never a coincidence. You know, who showed up today? Who could have slept in, but you made yourself get up and come to church? And you heard from a lady that sounds like she's 8 years old, and you were probably kind of concerned when I first walked up here. I get that a lot. But I believe it was a divine appointment. I believe God's stirring things up in you, and you are going to see changes in your life. It works for anyone who will dare believe it. Like the pastor from Nigeria. Look what God did in his life because I simply believe. Why can't we be like that? I simply believe I can start my own business. I simply believe I can get married this year. I simply believe I can get pregnant. Whatever it is that you're believing God for, get that vision on paper. Whatever it is. I want you to just close your eyes for just a minute. I just want to ask you, how many of you in here are crying out for that new beginning in your life? You're crying out for a new beginning. You don't want to repeat another year. Okay, I see the hands all over the place. How many in here, you know in your heart, now is the time that you've got to make Jesus Lord of your life? Maybe you've been putting it off, you haven't been convinced, but now you know, okay, it's time. It's time to do it. It's time to make Jesus Lord of my life and move on with the plan of God for my life. Okay, I see the hands. Well, I believe that God wanted you here just to prove to you how much he loves you, just to convince you that he's not finished with too many mistakes, you haven't wasted too many years. He still has something for you to do. He has a purpose for every one of us. Those of you who are crying out for that new beginning and you are ready to move beyond, I want you to just raise your hands. Like, let's all just raise our hands. Because that is a sign of complete and total surrender to God. That you are surrendering your past. You're not going to look back. And you are surrendering even your future to God. And you're just saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. Even if I did, I don't have the strength to do it. But like Jehoshaphat said, my eyes are on you, Lord. I'm trusting you. I'm going to pray over you right now, and I want you to join your faith with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for every precious person in this room. Thank you, Father, that you care about every detail in our lives. You care, you hear every cry, you see the pain, you know the concerns, you know the fears they're facing. But Father, I thank you that your love cast out fear. I thank you, Father, that you still have a plan for their lives. And Lord, I'm believing today things are stirred up on the inside of them to believe you for the impossible, to believe that you still can do something amazing in our lives. Father, your word says in Isaiah, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, you're doing a new thing, and now it shall spring forth. Now means today. The new thing starts today. Lord, I believe new visions, new dreams, new goals are being birthed on the inside of them. Things that they never thought of before. I'm believing that their imaginations are going to be stretched beyond the realm of possibility, where they have no choice but to trust God. Trust you to do big things in their lives. Father, I pray Joel 2:25 that you will restore the years that Satan has stolen. Restore the years that they thought were wasted. In the name of Jesus. I believe today is a new beginning. Today is a defining moment. March the 6th, 2011 marks a new day. That next year at this time, they will not be where they're at today. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe it. Do you believe it? Yes. You know, I'm convinced, and I didn't really share much about this, but I'm absolutely convinced that the secret of your future is hidden in your daily routine. That it's what you do on a daily basis that's going to lead you into God's plan or away from God's plan. You know, my magazine is actually called The Routine because my life didn't change until my routine changed. And it was just as simple as tomorrow morning when I wake up, I'm going to hear the word while I'm getting ready. That's easy. I got to spend time getting ready anyway. I might as well do something that's going to make me stronger. But you have to set yourself up for success. Get your iPod out. Get your CD player out. Get your hand on some good CDs. Put them in the bathroom the night before. Put a note on the mirror that says push play or write it in lipstick. Do something. And every morning when you get up, just push play. And I'm telling you, you'll be stronger that day than you were the day before. Now imagine doing that for 21 days. They say if you do something for 21 days, you can break an old habit and start a new one. Do you think your faith would be stronger after 21 days? Okay, then when God gives you an assignment and says, okay, I want you to open your own business, do you think you'll have the faith to do it? Why? Because you've been building your faith every day. Faith comes by hearing, right? So I want to challenge you to just start a simple routine, even if it's 10 minutes of hearing the word while you're shaving, while you're getting ready. You are doing wonders for your spirit. You're getting stronger on the inside, and then when God says, okay, now you've got the faith to believe you can get pregnant, you'll have it. It won't seem impossible anymore. You can do that, can't you? If I can do it, you can do it. So, again, I want to say thank you so much. Thank you, Peppy. Thank you, Pastor Joel. Whatever you look like, wherever you are. One day I'll see him. It has been such an honor, and I have to tell you, you know, if you were me coming up here, walking into a church where you don't know anybody and you have this voice, it's a little intimidating. But y'all have been so sweet and so receptive. Like, this church is going to stand out in my mind as having such a sweet spirit. I mean it. I just have fallen in love with you and this church, and I just want to say thank you so much. So, Pastor.